Today on Real Radio.
There was first a church, and then Satan creates a false church. There was first God's people, and then Satan creates his people. There was first the liberty and joy of the Garden of Eden, and the Lord is God, and then Satan comes along and says, putting doubt in Eve's mind, hey, has God really said that? I mean, come on, God's withholding good stuff from you. I've got a better way.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables. Now, our primary passage that contains a number of these parables is Matthew chapter 13. Now, you know, Jesus really liked to talk to the folks on their level in terms that they'd understand, just like we heard in the parable of the sower. We'll also take a look at the parable of the mustard seed in upcoming editions of Real Radio. And today, we'll have a look at the parable of the tares, sometimes known as the parable of the tares among the wheat. It's often described as an alarming parable on many levels. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called The Parable of the Tares.
And in verse 25, he says, regarding this sowing of tares, it says, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went on his way. This is an amazing warning by Jesus about deception and infiltration by false Christians. None of us like to talk like this or even hear this stuff. Do you mean there can be false Christians? You mean there can be false believers? Oh yeah, there. In fact, the Bible has promised us that in our midst there'll be false believers. Somebody might say, "Well, I'm going to go to a church where there are no false believers." That's impossible for you to know. You want me to make you a bizarre promise based on Scripture? Jesus will show us this more later. Wherever God's church is at, there will be false Christians. Guaranteed. Why? That's Satan's plan. You say, well, why doesn't God put them all in a headlock and keep them outside? That's not how it works. What are tares? You might say, what are these things, tares? Glad you asked. Listen, tares are native to the eastern regions of the Mediterranean. They are also known as darnel or darnel grass. Looks just like wheat. Can't tell the difference. They grow alongside wheat. They grow where wheat is found. They resemble so much wheat that the farmer himself cannot detect if it's wheat or not. The dangerous thing is, watch this, everybody. When it starts to sprout, looks just like wheat. When it grows up, looks just like wheat. When it forms its fruit, though it's not, it's fake, the kernel or the meat of it, looks just like wheat. You can't separate them until the very end. That's when you know. You've got to wait till the very end. And it's very interesting because when you take real wheat and rub it together in your hands, if you take the kernels of it and you rub it together in your hands, blow off the chaff, you can take that and put it in your mouth and chew it up, and it becomes almost like a wheat gum. You can chew it, and it's actually pretty cool. Tastes okay, it's fine. You do that with tares, and you're going to get very sick. You put it in your mouth, and immediately it's bitter. Not only is it bitter, but it releases a toxin when you either heat it up or your body temperature from your mouth, chewing on it, heats up and releases this toxin that causes you to feel dizzy. It causes you, and it can cause you to have some form of dizziness to the sense where you also begin to forget. And Jesus said, watch out for this. It's amazing. They're fruitless. Tares are fruitless, bitter, and usually sometimes empty in the husk. But always a fraud, always a fake. And the Bible says, Jesus says that he has this enemy in the parable. Now, you don't want to push parables too far, because honestly, let's be honest, Jesus has no enemies. Do you guys understand that? Jesus doesn't wring his hands in eternity saying, oh man, the devil really got me today. And Jesus has no enemies. God has no enemies as the way of foes. He's not competing against Satan. If Satan had a competitor, it would be like Michael or Gabriel. Those are three angels, Lucifer, Gabriel, Michael, of archangel status. They're equals. Jesus has no equal. But when he says an enemy has done this, it's not that God is threatened, but the context demands it's what God loves is threatened. Man is under threat, under that satanic cloud or blanket of deception. Satan seeks to infiltrate. And I'm going to ask you to think about these five things that I've got you hopefully to meditate on. How does the devil do this? Don't you want to know that? How does the devil come and sow these tares among us like this? He does it by counterfeiting all the truths of God. He takes, in fact, remember when Satan came to tempt Jesus? What did he use to tempt Jesus? He used the Bible, didn't he? But if when given enough time, Satan winds up misquoting the Bible against Jesus. It's pretty fascinating. Satan will use the Bible. Church, listen. Boy, if I tell you, if you don't get anything out of this, get this. This is discipleship 101. Satan, in the life of a Christian, will use the Bible to deceive him. Well, how's that happen? Because he will, in fact, his fingerprints are all over the cults. You know what they do? Cults use the Bible to back up their position. Did you know that? But how do they use the Bible? The way Satan taught them. You ever think of that? How do they do that? They open up a chapter from a book of the Bible and they quote a verse right out of the chapter. And then they'll turn over to three other books and they'll quote another verse out of some other chapter. And you know what they do? They take a text out of the context and make it a pretext. That is, they take a statement from the Word of God, but that statement is propped up in the chapter, in the context. But if you lift it and place it somewhere else and then surround it with other verses out of context, the very Word of God, rearranged or misarranged, I should say, can become a lie. This is absolutely remarkable in the world of espionage and spy missions to infiltrate, to jam the message. If your opponent is very bright, then you will use his technology and flip it enough to deceive him. And there are people, maybe you're here tonight, and you've been deceived by cults or by groups that will wrestle or twist the Bible and promote their thing. Because it's the Bible taken out of context. Satan's a master at that. How does he do it? He counterfeits the Word of God. When does the devil do this? Constantly, at every opportunity. But most effectively in religious settings. Amazing, isn't it? You would think Satan wouldn't go to church. Satan goes to church. He's seeking to infiltrate. Jesus warns us with the parable of the tares. The next thing is, why does the devil do this? And that is to corrupt, listen to this, to corrupt and pollute biblical doctrine. Satan's a master at that. You know this. He shows up in the Garden of Eden, and what does he say? Has God said? To pollute and twist the Word of God. To get churches to not teach the Bible. To begin to put in the minds of people, you don't need the Bible. As long as you're sincere, there's all kinds of ways to God. That's demonic doctrine. Oh, if you just mean it, or God is loving. God is loving, he'll save you. By the way, isn't it interesting? Temptation will come and slap you upside the head, and Satan will use it and speak to you and tell you, oh, just go ahead and do this sin. God will forgive you. It's okay. It's okay. He'll forgive you. And if you give in to that temptation, the moment you cross the line, what does Satan say to you? Boy, God's never going to forgive you. He does this to pollute the Word of God, to get you away from the Bible. Read some other books. Anything but the Bible. Man, I think about the age that we're in right now. Books are going extinct. They're too big. That sentence is too long. You want me to read the whole paragraph? Oh my goodness. That plays right into Satan's hand. There's no doubt. I mean, I don't mean to offend anybody, but the truth of the matter is we are absolutely getting dumber as time goes on. That's a fact. That's a fact. Man, when I see 200 years ago that we were having people enter Harvard at the age of 13, I saw the Harvard math entrance exam in the year, it was 1701, I think it was, to Harvard. The mathematical entrance exam. There were 500 pastors. Now, granted, it was pastors, so what do we know about math? But it was presented to pastors on the screen, and there were, I forget how many questions. There were a lot of them. There was like 10, 15 questions. And you say, well, it's not very many. This is not California math. This was real math. Nobody, the guy gave 30 minutes. Not one pastor, now granted, again, there were pastors, but not one pastor knew an answer to any one of the questions. And the guy said, at the end, he said, don't worry about it. He said, I did this at George Washington University, and there were only 3 students, and they were from India, that could answer one of them. It's like, what? We got to be careful. And listen, more than ever, we better dive into knowing the Bible. Why? Why? How come? Because Satan seeks to take it out of your life, to pluck it out of your life, to skew the truth of the Bible, to get famous, popular, fun people to say certain Bible doctrines no longer exist or never did. And people go, ooh, wow, I'll buy that. I'll buy into that. That guy's cool. Or that person's powerful. Or look how pretty she is. She must know the truth. Wow. Where does the devil do this? Only where the truth is being proclaimed. Satan has decided, because it works, to come among God's people and distribute falsehood among those where the truth is being spread. That's serious stuff. And who does the devil use for this? Are you ready for this? Unstable, unfruitful, unholy, divisive, self-seeking souls. People who have a religious bent to them. They may be charismatic, they may be whatever, but their life is not Bible doctrine in its context. They'll pick out certain things, certain themes from the Bible, and they'll get a group. And we've all seen this happen. They'll get a group going. It will go so far to some point, and it never lasts. That might be the mercy of God. It never lasts. It winds up coming apart. It winds up falling apart. And Satan laughs all the way to the spiritual bank, because usually the weirdo that does these things goes off to do it again somewhere, and he leaves in his wake a bunch of broken-hearted people who are now angry at God, angry at the Bible, angry at Christians, and they say things like, I'll never do that again, I'll never go to a church again, or I'll never go to a small group again, or I'll never do this again. And Satan wins. Beware of people who are unstable. Well, yeah, but they're really charismatic. Who cares? Does the doctrine of their teaching match up to the Word of God? And does their lifestyle match to the obedience of the Word of God? Very important stuff. The enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, among Christians. So be careful of the false Christians. Secondly, watch out for false growth. Verse 26. But when the grain had sprouted, that's good news, you guys, and produced a crop, great news. Then, notice this, then the tares also appeared. That is the fruit of them, the stem, or the, not the stem, but the head of it. Then it appears. It's mimicking. Did you guys, listen, read the opening throes of the Exodus account. Isn't it interesting? We just read it, I think, today or yesterday in our Bible reading, that that Moses, in one of the plagues, lice came upon the Egyptians. Remember that? And then what did Pharaoh's magicians do? They made more lice. Oh, we can make lice. Moses throws down his rod, and it becomes a snake. What do Satan's servants do? Throw down their rods, and they became snakes. Notice, Satan never does things creatively first. He always mimics what exists. There was first a church, and then Satan creates a false church. There was first God's people, and then Satan creates his people. There was first the liberty and joy of the Garden of Eden, and the Lord is God, and then Satan comes along and says, putting doubt in Eve's mind, hey, has God really said that? I mean, come on, God's withholding good stuff from you. I've got a better way. He always comes up playing off of what exists. He's a counterfeit. Watch out for false growth. This is an amazing thing. Church, please write this down. It is critical. We all need to know this, even though we don't want to think of it. Spiritual imposters and false brethren are in every church. They're in this church. You say, where are they? Hey, if we knew, we would drive them out. Sometimes we find out things. But Jesus himself is going to tell us they are so intertwined among us that dealing with them could hurt even the real believers because their roots are intertwined. This is serious business. Mark these verses down. 1 Timothy 4:1 speaks to us now. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Listen, you don't have to answer me. I'm just going to ask you a question. The Bible says in the last days, there's going to be those issuing forth doctrines of demons. Is that happening today? I would say more than ever before. Jude 1 Verse 3, beloved, while I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. Why? For certain men have crept in unnoticed. See that? Isn't that sad? Who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. That means God knows who they are. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness. That is, they play off the grace of God and think it's a license to sin and draw, for example. They'll tell a girl, oh, I'm a Christian, and God, it's okay. It's okay for us to have sex outside of marriage because, I mean, God made it to be enjoyed, right? I mean, he made your body, right? He made my body, right? I mean, come on. And they take the grace of God and convert it to an opportunity to be lewd. And deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse, 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Wow. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. Without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Is that not the 21st century? Having a form of godliness. They go to church on Sunday. But denying its power, there's been no change in their life. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make or take captives, gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They know everything about God. They know everything about the Bible, so they say, but they have no truth in them. The Bible says, in our day, these people will be in our midst. Number 3, verse 27. Parable of the tares teaches us to watch out for false doctrine. This is pretty obvious. Verse 27, so the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed? into your field? How then does it have tares? And so he said to them, the enemy has done this, the propagation of false doctrine. Galatians chapter 1, this is awesome. Please mark this down. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Boy, I tell you, memorize this. Use this. Have it like a shield over your heart. Paul said to the church at Galatia that had a great start, he says, I marvel that you've turned away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven, stop right there, leave it on the screen. Paul is saying, how long did he say this? 2,000 years ago. He said, if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another gospel to you than what we have preached to you, because Christ gave it to them, let him be accursed. Let him be damned to the furthest or the deepest of hells. As we have said before, so now I say again, if, and he reiterates, if we, an angel, anyone preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. There are ministries running around this world right now saying, we got this doctrine of ours from an angel. And it's completely different than what's written in the Bible, but we want you to believe it. Did anybody hear me?
Yes.
What do you think of that? That's pretty amazing, isn't it? The Bible absolutely anticipated this deception. Think about it. You can go down a list of cults and man-made religions whose beginnings came from a, quote, angelic appearance and gave the word that supersedes all others, or the word of God. False doctrine. Another thing about false doctrine, by the way, that tares love to do is, and no pun intended on this, that tares, people who are tares, they love to tear down God's work. Maybe you go to a church and you're growing and it's going great and you're happy about Jesus and you're in love with Jesus and things are going great. And then a tear comes along and says, oh, yeah, really? Well, I don't know. I wouldn't go there. You ever hear somebody say something like that? I mark them as tares personally. Oh, you know, when people go around poo-pooing God's work, they're tares. It's a dangerous thing. Mark them. Yeah, but I've known the person all my life, or I recognize the face. So, the Bible says that they're going to be right from among us and right with us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parable of the Tares, a look at one of the agricultural analogies, if you will, told by Jesus himself to his disciples. A very sobering parable indeed. We'll continue with more of The Parable of the Tares on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, you've heard us tell you about Real Life with JackHibbs.org. That, of course, is our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's where you'll be able to watch recent editions of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, one of our weekly television programs. But there are other tabs and buttons that take you to other facets of our ministry. That includes Real Life devotions. Now, I think you're really going to like this. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the button there that simply says Devotions. And if you'd like, subscribe to Real Life Devotions, and they'll be sent to your email each Monday. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.